Welcome back to another podcast. I am Adam, your host. And terrible intro. Just insert any grotesque imagery, intro, awesome music, accompanying with a lot of screechy violins. Today, I want to talk about the impact of our mental health during the COVID pandemic. And we're still home. I don't even know what day it is anymore. Into this COVID issue, but I know it's been going on since about March, and that is when I started a new job. I moved back in February. Today marks the 1 year anniversary, literally 1 year, that I moved to another state. And you know, I moved out of California. I did it before it was trending, and you know, I'd like to think that maybe some of the celebrities that are moving right now did so because I did it. Just kidding. I wish I could be taking credit for that. For many, this COVID issue is becoming more and more apparent that it is not going away, because we have so much fear that our government has put into us that this virus is so deadly. It's so much worse than anything we've ever experienced, and we have no way to control it. We even have a vaccine, but this vaccine may or may not help. It may only help for so long. If you get the virus, then you're good for 90 days, never to get it again. But that's not how viruses work. That's not how immune systems work. It's possible that, you know, the general period of time of which we could fight off a virus might be 90 days on average, but that's not a guarantee. So there's all this misinformation going out, and it's by the officials, the CDC, the WHO, many doctors that have very reputable reputations, very credible ones. But why are they giving us such mixed information? Oh, the virus is changing that rapidly, they say. But that's just not true. What's happening is we are seeing control on a level that we never thought was possible in the U.S., not in our generation. And it's happening. And I know many people criticize when I compare it to the Jews and the Holocaust. But it happened to them. It started out very much like it is now for us. It's how it starts. They gain your trust. They cause fear. And in return, hey, trust us, we'll help you. And one by one, they take away your freedoms and your rights. Now you question, what rights do I really have? I'm a business owner. The government told me to shut down. Guess what, folks? The government can't tell you to shut down unless you're a government or federal agency. You are given a license to operate. They cannot influence that license. That's called government overreach. Read your, you know, license agreement. Tell me where it says in there that the government has the right to shut you down when you haven't broken any of the standards and qualifications to run that business. You have a license to run that business in a free market. This is a free country in which you get to do so. They don't get to govern that. Now, I understand they also give money, emergency money in these cases. And what does that do? That buys your submission. It buys your cooperation. It says, hey, you're agreeing to listen to us, to listen to the government. And that's quite honestly BS. You have the right to do what you need to do to put food on the table. You don't need to rely on the government. That's them starting your house on fire and saying, hey, we'll come put it out, but you gotta pay us. You gotta do these contingencies for us. Now, there's a lot of people that just say, follow the government, listen to what they say, and this will all be over. That's not how it works. Read your history books. and then read some more history books, because a lot of the things we've been taught in school and in public schools is indoctrination. Things that aren't true. I could go on a list. I could go on a huge list, and it would probably break everything out there of every social justice warrior, every BLM, and everybody would be mad at me. What we've been taught is a very limited perspective based on a curriculum that the schools choose that they want your kids to learn. And this submission has been working. And what we're seeing now is a wave of very poor mental health. And it involves our kids. It involves our adults. It involves our elderly. We're seeing a submission of people that just, some we would never have allowed before, because the conditions in our environment were right. They were good. They supported us for the most part as an individual. There were certain things that hospitals would never be able to get away with that they do now. You want to stay by your loved one while they're dying, while they're on their last days? The hospital says no because of COVID. How in the hell did we allow that? We have kids that want to go hang out with their friends, do things, see things, go to the pools, you know, whatever else it is they do. Go to the movies, go to the mall. Nope. COVID. And if you have an elderly person living at home, it's their fault you can't go out because COVID. And it's a damn shame. Because that is not what this country is about. It's not how we've reacted to a virus. We've never had a virus like this before. Bullshit. There are many viruses like this. Many flus, N1H1, pneumonia, that have very similar side effects. Very similar symptoms. There are people that lose their sense of taste when they get sick. They lose their sense of smell, their appetite. You can get abdominal cramping. They can have all the explosive diarrheas. They can have all sorts of symptoms. Stuffy nose. I mean, it can really get bad for some people. And we act like this has never happened before. Here's my theory, and the reason why I have this theory is because of the way everything has been handled. I don't feel that this makes any sense. Because if it was really that serious and really that real, we wouldn't have the flip-flop. Not from the CDC, not from Dr. Fauci. Thanks, Hodge Twins, for that name. It's awesome. We wouldn't have any of these issues if it was real. I think what they did was went and took a new virus, one that is, you know, common to be new, another meaning that we get 10 to 15 new ones every year. So this one isn't anything new. And what they did was they picked one. Is it any mystery that now every new virus or every new mutation that we see this year is COVID? It's a new mutation of COVID-19. COVID-19 is also now synergetic with the flu. But no one's testing for it. And why? Have you seen the flu numbers? Go onto the CDC.com website. Look at the flu numbers. It is weirdly and oddly low. It's only about, you know, 3,000 to 4,000. I think I read 6,000 or 7,000. This year. And if you look at where it's being recorded, it's only in like a few states. And it's in the 400s, like 400 people, something weird like that. Is that not weird? Is that not out of the norm. They're so fixated on this one virus. Now, President Trump pulled out of the accord and the health whatever, and you know, that was some funding. That was millions of dollars, billions of dollars. I don't know how much it was, to be honest. I think it was like 23 something. And that is a lot of money that they wanted to do a bunch of research and give a bunch of grants to people that aren't finding out shit. Climate change is real. No shit it is. And you read a few articles about a few things. Yeah, we're going to see a shift. There's no guarantee in this life that the earth is going to stay the same in the same state for that long. We're a very resilient race that's been able to do things that no other animal has ever been able to do. We're able to create things, evolve and change. And honestly, we can survive a lot of things that we never probably would have been able to. But we also don't know what other civilizations were on this earth before us, because not everything survives. Not everything becomes fossilized. That's not saying that, you know, there was something else with dinosaurs. We don't know, but we also can't assume it because nothing has led to that evidence, which also will bring me to another point probably later in this episode, but has been well expressed in many of my other podcasts, so please check them out. What we're seeing is a fear and a drive that has happened before. Patterns happen. When you study something long enough, your brain gets trained to recognize patterns. And I've recognized them throughout history and what's happening again now. Our freedoms have been taken very swiftly, very quickly. And a lot of us knew it was coming. Now we're seeing in an impeachment process on a president who isn't even in office anymore, doesn't even have the chair. And everyone is saying he incited violence, but cut out intentionally the parts where he said peaceful protests, peaceful marching. And they all said that he incited it just because there happened to be some that day, even though they knew about it well ahead of time and didn't have the proper security or anything in place. But they sure as hell did. At the inauguration, you know, and they talk about unity and taking down walls and barriers. You guys, I'm not against immigration. I'm against illegal immigration. And I'll tell you why. Because it takes advantage of our resources and our systems and our money and our tax dollars. That doesn't mean that there aren't people that really do need it that get over here. But you know, our history is all about fighting for land, to gain control, establish a government. You could watch a lot of history movies, and that is majority what war is about. Why were we in Iraq? For lithium. Probably some other things too and everything, but it affects oil prices and whatnot. But that's where a valuable resource there. So why were we fighting so hard? But while we were there, we did do some good things. We also did a lot of bad things. But, you know, then you look at the wars of like Europe, you know, the Middle Ages. It was a lot for land and control, because you control new things. You spread. And that is what we're starting to see with, you know, the new presidency administration, the Biden administration. I don't know why we don't have checks and balances, which they used to talk about all the time on the Democratic Party. And I don't know why we don't have limits and accountability. Why is it that there is not a restriction on how long they can serve? Why is it over 40 years? Where's their predecessors? Where's Nancy Pelosi's predecessor? She claims she has one, but it's in that person's in hiding. And why is no one calling out the bullshit? Why are the Republicans not standing up for themselves, standing up for the people? I'll tell you why. Because one side is fighting very, very dirty. and the other side isn't. And like all wars, if you do not fight, you do fall. Now, you might have seen Star Trek, where Captain Kirk was marauded on a planet. I totally said that backwards. And then he meets Old Spock, and Old Spock tells him he was the captain of the starship. He needs to go reclaim his position. And he deemed present Spock as, you know, unable to be in command because he's compromised. And then you see Kirk take his seat back. That's what we need to see with our president. President Trump rightfully won that election. And I know many of you can argue me on it, but you know what? We've never had this issue with the election where we have evidence, visual, legitimate evidence of voter, not voter fraud necessarily, but ballot fraud, additional votes, counting issues, interference would probably be a better word for it. And a lot of it was, COVID. And so they tried to say that because of COVID, you can't get within so close to, you know, monitor these ballots as we count them. And, you know, that's what we used to have to prevent fraud. But you know what? It really should have been, hey, if your state doesn't get it in, oh, well. But miraculously, when the counting stopped and everything was closed, there was another couple 100,000 million, whatever it was, ballots that were just found in votes for Biden. That's ridiculous. You know, the main arguments from every past election was that he's not fit. He's not fit. You want to give him or her the nuclear codes? Well, I'm going to tell you, did Trump go to war once? Did he bring us to war? Look at the statistics. The numbers don't lie. Well, you know, and I guess in cases where technically it does and doesn't, but with the election, but Trump did well. He did really damn good for this country. And now we're seeing it fall. And Trump is to blame again. But it wasn't doing well with Obama either. The last 4 years, I had huge regret. Because I voted for him, not knowing any better. I thought I did, but shit, now I really know. Forcing people to have health insurance and then fining them if they can't afford it. I made just enough that I still had to pay $150 a month for health insurance when I didn't want it because it wouldn't get me anything. And then if I didn't pay that, I still got fined, which was more than $150 a month. It's ridiculous. And then you still get nothing. So in my line of work, in my career job outside of podcasting, I work with children and adults with mental health issues. I'm going to do my best to not disclose anything personal about anybody. So the disclaimer is, this isn't related to anyone I know. If it's similar or anything, it's just pure coincidence. But I've been traveling in the kind of the news line of many different schools, other parents, other people, teachers, other professionals, and I hear a lot about suicidal ideation, other mental health issues involving COVID and being locked in the home. Like I started out in the beginning of this podcast, there's a lot of issues that are not happening anymore for kids that are, you know, it was kind of the biggest benefit for them. In order to move forward in their life, in order to develop, in order to grow. And now it's like they're on house arrest and they're being punished basically for something that no one ever did. Like if we're healthy and fine, We can't live like we're going to be sick tomorrow. We just don't do that. Now, I've been exposed supposedly over 10 times. Or about 10 times. Never once showed a symptom. Never once had a sniffly nose. Never once had a headache. Never once had a cough, you know, that wasn't like choking on my own spit or something. But I've never had an issue. It's never been a thing. And why is that? So, you know, there was that argument about asymptomatic and everything. I want to clear that up first, real quick. It's a side note, I know, and I'll try to come back to the previous discussion. But asymptomatic, there's no such thing. Now, you can have the virus through fomite transmission, touch, maybe even have dead cells in your system. But if you're not showing symptoms, the virus is not incubated, and therefore you're not contagious. That's why washing your hands is more important than wearing a mask. Bottom line. Okay, so what I hear a lot of is the suicidal ideation, kids just wanting to cause self-harm and everything because they are not able to go out and do things that they used to be able to do. There was a student in our area that is in a different school district. Let's see. Just a little ways away, probably about a half hour from where I'm at, who committed suicide. He was going to be going on to his fourth quarantine and was tired of it and told his parents and everything. But that's when he decided to end his life. And I want to make it clear in case people's family happen to hear this by some coincidence that it's not their fault. Because this is something that we can't always prevent. Mental health, it's not mental illness by any means. Mental health is kind of like, you know, your diet health, your physical health. Like, how are you doing? Are we at a point of being healthy, or are we at a point of, you know, illness where, or not illness, I keep saying illness, or are we at a point of unhealthy where we need to improve some things, enhance our day-to-day regiment, our routine. Now, this happened a couple weeks ago, and other kids were influenced by it. And I know, because I talk with them, that there are others out there that think about suicidal ideation, that feel that just ending this life would, you know, stop all the problems, the abuse at home. Which, by the way, is something else not talked about very often in the news and media, is how these kids are not, like, the abuse from parents or from whoever, uncle, whoever, is not being reported because we're not able to see the marks. We're not able to see the facial expressions. Kids see these wide-eyed, big-eyed adults. And it causes anxiety. I go into these classrooms and I see a lot of kids bouncing off the walls, jumping around, or they look drowsy and miserable because these masks are not working. Lately, in the last couple months, I have seen kids in these schools, and I have seen more schools do this. They are becoming more and more lax on the masks. And I have seen behaviors improve. Listening improve. The masks are not a solution. They're very terrible for mental health. Because we need to see the face. We need to see the smile. The entire face is 80% of social interaction. And without that, and all we're seeing is big eyes. Sometimes, especially in the Midwest, they like to raise their eyebrows when they smile. Because, you know, you got to put a stronger sense of happiness on your smile. It can't be a natural smile. You maybe don't look happy enough. In small towns, it becomes a lot more judgmental. But what we need to see, and what we haven't seen, is more acceptance of those who want to wear a mask, go for it. And those who do not, you cannot shame them. You should not shame them. And shame on you for shaming others for not wearing a mask. That is the normal thing when you are not sick. When you're not sick, why? Why does everybody have to wear a mask? If you are sick, don't go out. If you're at that higher risk, don't go out. But at the same time, you can be at that higher risk and make the choice for yourself. The risk assessment is up to you. That's America. That is our country. It is not up to anyone else. It's not up to the public that shames. It's not up to the Karens that, decide to get in your face or anything. I go on. I do worry about people getting in my face and saying something. I have my comebacks ready. I get offended every time I'm asked to wear a mask and when I just walk into Walmart. As if they're trying to hand me a flyer or something, you know, for, hey, you know, doomsday. Like, no, go away. I'm getting bitter too, and I never wanted to be like this. I never liked to be like this. I like to smile at everybody I meet, say hi. No one talks to anybody anymore, even at Walmart. Now, I have my own issues. I have been struggling with my own things, but because I work with, you know, 20 plus other kids and adults, and it's taking a toll on me too. We're all looking for hope. We're all looking for a savior. We're all looking for someone that can ease our discomfort. And you would think we would find it in the media, that we would find it in the doctors, that we would find it in our president, who isn't doing a very good job when he said, I'm going to shut down the COVID virus in 2 months, blah, blah, blah. And now he's like, oh, I can't do anything about it. And as if we're not going to know because we have technology, dumbass. We can go back and look. It's getting stressful. And it brings me to another point. If you're feeling like that, you need someone to talk to. Seek out a therapist. And you're more than welcome to contact me on Facebook or something like that. And or on Twitter at One Adam Paradox, or on any of my other means, you know, feel free, get a hold of me. I can't help you. Not legally. We can talk about things. You know, you can find your own solutions, stuff like that. And we can work out things that way. You can come on my podcast. We can talk about it. Because talking about it does a lot more for everyone than just expecting help. Just receiving it. When we expect the therapist to fix us, it doesn't do anything. When we're feeling we're in that broken state, you guys, we aren't broken. No one is broken because of all this. We're reacting. And it's very difficult sometimes to get out of the reaction of, you know, feeling depressed and the feelings we have when we don't have an environment that would support growth, development, healing, rehabilitation, etc. So it's important to seek people out. Have the conversation, have the discussion, but also know this. No one view is absolute 100%. And if you shame someone else, if you don't accept that someone else has a different view than you, you're going to have a tough time. There are different views. Everyone has a different view. And you need to be willing to accept that. It's difficult, it sucks, it's painful to hear, but that's what we need to do. And just imagine, as adults, how terrible or how struggling whatever everything is and how we're dealing with it feels. Think about that. It's very difficult for adults. We have a lot more on our plate. We have so many more anxieties than when we were a kid. But imagine being a kid again. And you're feeling uncertain as an adult, how that appears to a kid. Worrying about bills, worrying about activities when your kid acts out, because there's like no reason they should act out, right? But their perspective is not as rational as ours yet. They haven't had enough life experience. They haven't gone through enough things to look at it and go, Huh. Well, at least I still have this. I can still do this. I can still operate this way and get through my day. Those are called coping strategies. By the time we hit 25, our brain starts maturing and we've started to learn some of these coping strategies. If you ever watch Below Deck, it is not a healing guru over the phone. That is not a coping strategy or a healer or any crap like that. I thought it was a very funny scene. And if you watch that show almost as religiously as I do, you'll know what I'm talking about. What we need today is to be able to talk about this. The more we talk, the more we discuss without fear, without putting down others, without shaming others, the more we can explore it, the more we can feel better. And when we don't feel alone, we end up doing a lot better too. We're all in this together. I always hate the phrase when someone says, you're not the only one. You're not the only one going through it. Well, let's change it to we're all in this together. Because I hate when it feels like you're being singled out or, you know, stop with your pity. Because everyone reacts differently. That's the dynamic of psychology. That was probably the hardest thing I had to understand about psychology. I thought that it was very black and white. If you act like this, it's because of this. But it's actually everything is multivariable, multifaceted. It's never simple. It's never one thing. Oh, they're behaving this way because they must be, you know, have been abused as a child in some way. And that's never the case. Sometimes it's just an incident that caused a traumatic experience or a chemical reaction during that traumatic experience that caused long-term effects. Now they're suddenly aware. You should become aware before these major things happen as best you can. Meaning learn, you know, have discussions, try to be more open, develop a philosophy, a personal philosophy of yourself and of others around you. Mine is, you know, there's going to be many different ways of living. And I look at it as long as it doesn't impact others negatively or yourself negatively. You know, I'm not anyone to judge if it's acceptable or not. There are some things that are just clearly not acceptable. Molesting children is not acceptable. President Biden is not acceptable. Some of these things are not acceptable. Sniffing children, not acceptable, Joe. You cannot go up to people and their kids that you don't know, that aren't yours, not your grandchildren, and sniff them and touch them and tickle them and everything. I've had someone tell me, some people are just touchy-feely. No. Pedophiles are touchy-feely. Not okay. People are not just touchy-feely. You can shake hands, you can maybe touch a shoulder, but it shouldn't even be a elongated sentiment. And we see him do that with Hillary and other people, and you don't do that with friends. It's weird. Maybe very, very close friends, but not in the professional world. No. That's the same kind of white privilege males that you see on like Mad Men and other shows. And we hated it. It's disgusting, but yet we idolize it because it makes a damn good show. We need to get back to a life of normalcy. And we realized one thing in the process of this whole COVID. We don't take illness seriously. Not serious enough. You can only be sick X amount of days before we might consider letting you go. You can only be sick or out sick and, you know, without consequence. And it just, you know, it used to be you got a very important meeting. You can't miss it. And you would show up sick. Because there isn't a possibility of rescheduling. That's got to change. We got to start allowing a little bit more leniency on things and having reasonable excuses as to why we can't make it in. If we're sick, you stay home. If you have symptoms, go in late at the very most. And that needs to be acceptable. We're not slaves. When you have a job, you are not a slave to that job. We have rights. We have freedoms. We need to exercise them. And as you know, I understand as big companies and management, you are trying to run something that stays steady so everyone does have money that is there, etc. But you need to prepare and adapt a little bit. I mean, I would assume that is what needs to happen. Because we are at an age or era, I guess, where when you're sick now, you sneeze, you cough, or even just, you know, rub your nose. It's, oh my God, the COVID! And we're running down the streets as if Godzilla was trampling the town. By the way, that movie's coming out. I hope Kong wins. Actually, I just hope it's a damn good movie because we have had no movies in a while. And it's very frustrating. But we need to get back. We need to get back to some normalcy. Mental health will improve tremendously when we do. I will stop getting calls to put kids in placement. I will stop getting calls that, you know, kids are feeling suicidal, that they need someone to talk to, that they need them now or as soon as possible, and we can go back to a bit more normalcy, dealing with regular problems, bullied at school, picked on, mom and dad fight too much. One thing we can do, a lot of things we can do during this. Don't fight in front of the children. Don't raise your voice in front of the children. Go out in the car. Go for a quick little drive. Yell there. Don't drive and yell. Like, don't be mad and drive. Like, go park somewhere and go fight in your car or something. You know, don't put it in front of the children. Don't let them know your finances are suffering. They do worry when that happens. And if, you know, as adults, if you're fighting too much, figure it out. What's causing the fights? If you're in a simple state like I am, there isn't much to fight about. There really isn't. No one's going to bars because they're closed. No one's going out anywhere. No one's meeting people on the internet. No one, I mean, so you really don't have these catalysts that used to be present for causing fights in the first place. Your husband's not going to the bar until close after work, and you have no idea where the fuck he is. I mean, granted, we have GPS tracking now, so, you know, if you're still doing that and you haven't figured, like, women, if you haven't figured that out, guys, knock it off. I mean, preliminarily, they're going to track you, they're going to find you, and they will get you. Dealing with mental health during this pandemic has been the biggest challenge because you want to give hope. You want to say, hey, it's going to be all over soon. This is only lasting 15 days and then a fucking year later. You want to say this is going to end. You want to say it'll be over soon. You want to say this isn't as how it's supposed to be. It's not going to last forever. It's not going to keep going. It's not going to be a thing, but it is. It's still here. And you hear a lot of people saying, just deal with it. Just cope. Just work through it. Everyone's going through it. You're not the only one, which like I said, it sounds a lot better when you say, we're all in this together. Because we are. We're all in this together. Except maybe the celebrities who are in their big mansions going, oh, it's so terrible being home. Yeah, they got their own movie theaters. They got their maids and butlers and 8-car garages. And yeah, they have no freaking clue. You notice they don't talk much anymore. Yet we got to hear about the girl on Mando. What's her name? Gina Carano. She was kicked off of the movie and everything over, you know, some of the cancel culture is getting ridiculous. And it's because they keep getting canceled. They keep getting, you know, fired from these jobs for having a personal opinion. Now, some of them don't have personal opinions. Some of them are paid. And that's bullshit. I wish I could get paid for some of my opinions and put it out there, but you know, getting fired from jobs, you know, because you had an opinion that was different. Now I can understand if you're bashing your boss, if you're bashing the company, and it's causing a reputation that's just really god awful. I get it. But we're still individuals. Again, we are not slaves to our job. They don't own us. Now I can understand big companies want to protect their reputation, so we might let you go because, you know, you have an influence. But I've seen people get fired over almost having no influence. Like 5 people. And that's bullshit. That's not, and even as celebrities, let them have their opinion. I know we don't like it. Some people make mistakes. Some people have very dark opinions. Some people post things, and I'm even guilty of this, posting things that are so dark and so just out there when you're in a bad mood. Because you're, again, you're looking for a discussion. You're looking for someone else in the world to feel as, you know, that may feel as you do. So you know you're not alone. When I went through my first, first realization, I guess, well, the first time I realized workplace bullying and that it can happen to me, that even if I knew the signs, actually, I started it after something did happen to me. I was totally blindsided, and this hasn't been my first time. So I started identifying the red flags. Now I'm being more proactive. It's probably driving my work nuts. But I'm being more proactive when I notice something that's just not right. And I need to talk to somebody. And I need to go, hey, this needs to change. I need to talk to someone about this. It's not unreasonable. And I now know how to have those arguments because I've been talking with people. Been having discussions. I've been having arguments. Yeah, sometimes I get fucking pissed. Fumed. Angry. And because I've been doing that, I have done a lot better having these conversations and not feeling as intimidated as I used to. Now, I still do. I still have my personal anxieties. I still have my personal issues. But I've learned to kind of push through them a little bit better. And it also goes a lot better for us in this whole circle of cause and effect if we don't let it build up and have a big outburst. That's when we tend to, you know, drop the ball and make things really bad for us. And now everything that we have ever done has been undone in that one moment. So unless you have one of those written scripts like they do in the movies where they blow up and say something really goddamn brilliant, if we don't do that, then it just ruins everything. And everything we've ever done, all the times we were collected, calm, held it in, and didn't say what we really wanted to say, was for nothing. So being tactful is highly important, is the point. We're seeing a lot happen that we never used to see. And that is scary. And change isn't always bad. Some of it's good. Some of it's just interesting as hell. Now, I will say politics is boring as shit with Trump out of the office now. I kind of miss that because it was entertaining. What's he going to say today? What's he doing today? What are they going to say about him? What don't they like? You know, and that was just fun. It's getting interesting out there. You know, we're going to hear a lot more about this. I hate that my podcast kind of became all about COVID and politics and everything. I want to get back on mental health and workplace environments and how we can improve our daily life. I think that would be a lot better. I think that'd be a lot more interesting. But this is where it's leading. This is what viewers want to hear. At least, you know, as far as I can gather based on the statistics of my podcast. I miss talking about religion, which I left about 2-3 years ago. That was a hard time. I thought that was a hard time. Because I felt I had basically been lied to, misled. The beliefs are consistent. People really truly believe that. That doesn't mean it was intentional as a lie. But misled. You know, I wasn't given the opportunity to think beforehand. Did this really happen? How do we know it really happened? Is it all strictly a belief? And if it is strictly a belief, why am I taking it at face value? Why do I need to put my emotion into it? And that's something that, you know, is why I left religion. Because the more I read, the more I looked at it, the more I looked for why and how we actually know what we know. And I wanted to make a trip. I wanted to go somewhere to see these things. And guess what? Not there. Because it doesn't exist. It's not real. And that's an issue. That is a issue that, you know, we struggle with. But I thought that was bad. You notice how the left is saying that there's the cult of Trump? Well, the left is causing a literal cult. Because they are causing you to believe things that aren't true. They're misleading. That is a cult. That is a religion. Well, religiously, I guess it's like a adjective of religion, but not a noun of it. And yeah, they are causing this issue that we believe to be true. And it's clearly not. It's a hard one to accept. One that we're going to have to dwell on for a while. So what can we do to improve our mental health during the pandemic? Well, there's a few techniques. There's a few things that we can do. But one of my probably best overall advice that I could probably give is identify your interests and hobbies. What do you like to do? For me, it's art. I like to make things. I like to put things together. So Legos are really good. Even if you're an adult, get into advanced Legos. There's a lot of shit you can do. Kinex, you know, lots of shit you can do. But I like to art. I like to draw. I like to paint. I have a lot of supplies for different things. I got a really cool setup. My girlfriend helped me with the light in here, and it looks really awesome. There's a lot of things we can do. So we don't have to keep doing the same things. By the way, drinking is not a hobby. Try to stay away from that as best you can. It's okay to have one here and there, but try to stay away because our health is diminishing by not moving, by not going places, by not doing stuff, by not working out. Not everyone wants to go outside to work out either. I'm one of those people. Bugs give me the chills now down my spine. I can't control it, and I just hate it. No matter how I go, I used to be okay. I honestly used to be okay about it, but now that I kept getting attacked by bees, which I think was attributable to my diabetes, you know, having excess sugar in my blood and sweat and all that, I think just attracted them every time I stepped outside. I swear. That or we had a hive somewhere nearby that just kept getting disturbed every time I went outside. I don't know. But it seemed like every time I went out. And anyways, it started to now, anytime I see bugs, I just freak out. By the way, this isn't a promo or an ad, but I was gifted with an awesome gift of a Bug Assault 3.0. And I just want to say, that thing is fucking awesome. Okay? Because you go and you shoot the damn bug and it like shreds into pieces almost. I've had it happen a few times, but it kills flies on impact. Like one shot, done. Now, I guess it takes a little longer for the other bugs with tougher exoskeletons, but it'll get them too. So this is just like a personal promo, I guess, recommendation. Definitely pick one of those up. I mean, you don't have to use sprays anymore, which is what I used to use. You can just shoot the motherfuckers with a salt. It's literal salt you put in there, table salt, whatever, and it shoots those motherfuckers dead. It's pretty awesome. And it's well made too. Heavy duty plastic. Takes quite a bit of strength to cock the son of a bitch, but it's awesome. So check it out. If you definitely are a gun person or like guns, that's a fun one to have. And it's definitely my go-to. And I'm so excited when I see a bug now. I'm like, yes, I get to shoot something. So just saying, worth checking out. But identify your hobbies and your interests. Video games is a good one. Talk to people on video games. Definitely a good way to stay social and can be healing. Now, you got to probably monitor some of the chats. Definitely don't let your kids just run wild. I have heard of some kids developing very unhealthy relationships on video games. So monitor that. Make sure everything's, you know, hunky-dory there. And you know, you could watch movies, movie collections, kind of like people read novels. That's okay. You know, book clubs are good. I am trying to work on a book. I would like to get a book club going and talk about certain topics in certain books and, you know, read autobiographies and talk about them just to see where everyone's at, you know, and what we think. But if anyone's interested in those things, please get a hold of me. Definitely do. It's totally worth it. We'll have a conversation. I think it'd be awesome. What else? I think I'm going to end it there. I think that's all we have. Now, remember, you're not the only one dealing with this. We're all in this together. Thanks for listening. Again, contact me at one Adam Paradox on Twitter or on Facebook at The Adam Paradox or on any of the other social medias at The Adam Paradox, and I will talk to you there. Thanks again for listening. Again, I'm always looking for guests, so if you would like to be on the podcast, you know, voice up, let me know, and we'll set up a meeting and a time to record. Thanks again. Have a good week, and any cross promotion deals that you guys want to do, I'll promote you on here, you promote me on yours. And one more time, remember, we're all in this together.